gatto, chi storo matto.
Dopo l'oligato, kick to me radio, da 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 da.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to another all-new Geek to Me Radio. Today we are joined by the owner of Justin's Comics, Justin Burnett, to talk all about what's coming up in the month of March in the world of comic books. We'll then talk to voice actor Scott Innes, who does the voice of Shaggy and Scooby-Doo in the current iterations of the Scooby-Doo cartoons. All that and more. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. And if you don't know, Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all.
And if you're driving around the greater St. Louis area listening to this on 105.3 FM and 1380 AM, thank you for finding us there. If you're hearing us out there in the world, you're streaming us via the World Wide Web, thank you very, very much for finding us. And of course, if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes, Podomatic, FM Player, or wherever you get your podcast from, thank you very much for subscribing and listening there each week. We're going to jump right into it. We've got a jam-packed show again today. My first guest will be no stranger to anyone who has already heard the show for the past couple of months, our comic expert, Justin Burnett, owner of Justin's Comics. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm glad to be back on again.
We're glad to have you talking all things comic book. And I know one of the things that we want to discuss is that the big 1,000th issue of DC Comics flagship title, Detective Comics, hits stores this month. And I know there's a bunch of variants. A lot of people are excited about this book. What can you tell us about Detective Comics 1000?
Well, it's released on March 27th. We're going to have a launch party in the store, but they'll have 50% off DC Comics and 50% off new comics that day. But we're going to have 11 different variant covers. Now, I know Action Comics 1000 went over very well last year, but I think this is even going to blow that away. One, it's Batman. I mean,
right.
Nobody can beat Batman, and they did a very good job on the variant covers. They've done a very good job on the writing leading up to this. Strategically wise, they're going to be the first appearance of the Arkham 9 in the DC Universe. And we're already getting a lot of pulls for it. And even the regular cover is a gatefold cover done by Jim Lee. That's, almost every, you can look just about every one of them and say, these are really good variants. And even the cover A, but the 1940s Bruce Timm cover with Joker on it, that's probably been the most pulled one right now. You got the Frank Miller one, the 1980s cover is another very popular one. So it's going to be a great event.
And I love that they did the decades, because they did the same thing with Action Comics 1000, where they had the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s variants. And they're doing the same thing with Detective. And they've got, obviously, like you mentioned, Bruce Timm doing that riff of, I think it's Detective Comics number 68, where the Joker's coming out of the genie bottle. And then they've got, I love the 50s variant, too, by Michael Cho, with all the wacky costumes, the Rainbow Batman, the Mummy Batman, Jungle Batman, all the different comic covers of the different comics from Detective Comics throughout the 50s. Jim Steranko's doing a 60s one, which I always love Jim Steranko, but I usually associate him more closely with Cap than with Batman, but I love his comic cover for that for the 60s as well.
Yes, they're doing the Steranko one. The color's done very well on that one. It's got like a purple blend in it that looks very good. And that's what I'm saying with these variant covers. You can look at just about every one of them and want just about every one of them. And even some of them, even like the 1930s one, some people want that just because that's, when Batman and Detective Comics came out. And then you got Jock in the 2000s as well. I think it's going to go much, like I said, Action Comics 1000 went very well, but to say it's going to do even better, that it's going to be a big event for DC. And there's a lot of history in Batman, you know, like the Frank Miller cover for the 1980s.
Yeah.
That brings me back to the Dark Knight Returns, which is one of my favorite Batman, you know, books or graphic novels of all time.
Yeah, and it's even got Carrie Kelly, Robin, on the cover there. They've done a great job of selecting just almost the perfect artist. They got Tim Sale doing the 1990s cover, which obviously was when Dark Victory and Long Halloween came out. So that's kind of like one of the definitive. I wish that we still had Norm Breyfogle was still with us, because he will always be the epitome of Detective Comics Batman in the 90s for me. But obviously his passing, unfortunately. I think Tim Sale is obviously a fantastic choice to do that cover for that decade.
Yes, you're saying that Batman has such a rich history. There's so much Batman out there. And there's a lot of, we're going to have 11 different covers, but then if you look online, you'll see all these other different retailer exclusive variants and stuff too. So it's like kind of an endless amount when you get into Batman. No matter what era you're from, you're going to remember something from Batman as growing up. Like, you know, I was saying Dark Knight Returns is probably one of my favorite. More recent Batman White Knight series, I really like that.
Yeah.
But then growing up, like, and especially in the 90s and stuff, I don't know if I ever read completely all the Nightfall series, but I remember that Batman, Bane breaking Batman's back, you know, on the cover.
Right.
But I think everyone has a cover or something related to Batman, a cover or story that they remember as growing up, too. You know, I mean, it's so much history with Batman.
Yeah, for me, it's always been Jim Aparo. He was always my favorite Batman artist, because obviously he did all those iconic, not only the Batman covers, like in the early 300s on, but he also penciled Brave and the Bold. So every time Batman would team up with Aquaman or Black Canary in the 80s, it was usually a Jim Aparo cover. So he, to me, still remains my favorite Batman artist. Again, another one who we sadly don't have with us anymore, which would have been an iconic person to do an 80s cover. But yeah, like you said, there's always, I mean, people associate, they may have their first experience with Batman may have been the 1989 Tim Burton movie, but there's so many iconic stories. Like you said, this guy's been around since 1939 with the history he's got. I think Batman is probably a bit more popular than Superman too, generally speaking. So again, I think these Detective Comics 1000 will probably outsell the Action 1000s.
Oh, yeah, I'd almost guarantee it. I would think the most commonly asked question in a comic book store is, you have Batman. Where's your Batman? and, you know, Superman's popular in his own right, but I would think Batman has probably surpassed any of them in popularity now. It's crossed over into just everyday apparel, too. You'll see so many people with a Batman symbol shirt on. So, I mean, it's in every aspect of our life, and, you know, the video games too, which is, that's playing right into this issue with the Arkham Knight.
Right.
So, you know, arguably, I don't know if it's even arguably, I would say Batman is the most popular superhero comic book character there is.
I would say so. Yeah. And I know with you being, obviously a comic book shop owner, you've had this sales point. If people still want to reserve a copy, like if they want to get their hands on a certain cover, you're still taking pull orders for people, correct?
Yes, we are. They need to get them in as soon as possible, but we still do have pulls available for that issue. And we have listed on our website, like a whole list of what, you know, we're getting. People kind of go through and do a checklist. Or if you come into the store, we'll have the checklist there for you that you can fill out and hand back to us. We still do have availability for it, so, but I do recommend people get it in as soon as possible. Like I said, that Bruce Timm covers, people are pulling that like crazy. So I expect to sell a lot of comics on March 27th.
And if you want to check it out, for those of you listening, if you want to go online to, I guess they can do the pull order online, or they can give you a call, but the website is justinscomics.shop. Phone number, if you want to give them a call, 636-493-1267. With that being towards the end of the month, we've still got a few weeks before then, and I know you've got a lot of titles that you carry. You've got a lot of variants. So it's one of the things that impressed me so much when I first came to your store is, my goodness, you've got a lot of variant covers. And one title that's been selling like gangbusters, which I was luckily in on the first issue, was Immortal Hulk.
Oh, yeah, it's... There's been a frenzy for Immortal Hulk, especially over the last couple of weeks. It's kind of like a combination of things coming together. for that. You know, the story, first of all, is very, very well done by Al Ewing. It's got a, you know, good horror slash like sci-fi feel to it. And then a lot of the cover A's or the cover A's are done by Ross, Alex Ross.
Yeah.
And interior art's done by Joe Bennett. So the art's very done very well too. And it's gotten a lot of accolades. You know, last year it got the Diamond Jim Award for the best new comic series. And then another thing that adds on to the collectability of it, you know, like Spider-Man, Batman, there's usually large print runs for them, but this Mortal Hulk, some of them were like, you know, just barely top 50 print runs for what stores ordered. So there's a limited amount compared to some of the other big titles. So all that's coming together once people are realizing it's a really good book. And, you know, I mentioned the Alex Ross covers, but even the variants and reprints and stuff are just selling out really fast. Issue number two, the cover A is like a $50+ book cool. now. And even the reprints are double-digit dollar books. And some of the stuff, it's very, very well written, how they tie some of the stuff back to the old school TV show. And like I said, it has a good horror sci-fi feel. It feels like, you know, they're doing Hulk right. You know, I mean, the old school guys like it, but then a lot of new readers like it too.
Yeah, I've said ever since I started reading the book, since the first and second issues, I've repeatedly said that this is probably my favorite run of Hulk since Peter David's Gray Hulk run back in the 80s and into the early 90s.
Oh yeah, I mean it's one of my favorite books of anything right now. And the only, you know, I guess it depends on what kind of person you are as far as reading it. The only thing I've heard bad about it, which is I would take as something good about it, is people say it's too weird. I like weird.
Yeah.
I mean it's weird in a good way to me, and then like I said, they blend the art with the weirdness and the storytelling very well, with the dark, rich colors. I mean, I could see this translated to something on film even eventually, too, if they could put it that way. It's such a good story, such a good run. Now, I'm two issues behind issue 12 and 13 because I sold out of them before I could read it. And then I'm getting reprints in. Hopefully I don't sell out of them before I can read it. But it's that good of a series. I think it's going to be an all-time great.
And if people want to know more about you, your store, where they can get on the pull list, where they can buy these comics from, where can people find you?
Like I said earlier, you can look us up on justinscomics.shop. We're on Facebook at Justin's Comics. We're also on Twitter at Justin's Comics 1. And then Instagram is Justin's Comics.
And for those of you who are out there on Instagram, it's definitely worth a follow there just because you see all the variants, you see the stuff he puts up, and you do a great job on your social media. The Instagram's a really lot of fun to follow you on there.
Yeah, a lot of people have a strong following on social media right now, and that's how a lot of people keep up with the stuff that I get in. And I just bought I bought over 5,000 comics in the last week of back issues. So I'll be posting a lot of stuff, and it's leading up to our big spring sale is – a four-day sale, so that'll be even before the Detective Comics 1000, but that'll be Friday, March 15th through Monday, March 18th, a four-day sale, 50% off everything, 75% off back issues under $25, also 75% off on Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards. It'd be a good time to clear some inventory. Hopefully it's actually spring by then,
yeah.
And I got a bunch more comics to put out, so...
Yeah, so if you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, Justin's Comics is the place you want to go. Justin Burnett, thank you so much for your time today. It's always fun talking comic books with you.
Yep, thanks once again.
No problem. Take care. Back with us the first of every month. We'll have Justin back on in April. We'll have a recap probably of how the sales went for Detective Comics 1000 and talk more things comics for the month of April. We're going to take our next break. We'll come right back doing some housekeeping and a little bit of business right after this. So stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we're back. Kevin Conroy, the iconic voice of Batman. They should have a Batman animated series cover for Detective number 1000, but I don't think they did. I think the Tim Sale doing the Joker cover for the 40s is the closest we're going to get to anything like that. But we did get the chance to sit down and talk with John Glover, who obviously voiced the Riddler in the Batman animated series. He was Lionel Luthor on Smallville. You saw him in movies and TV throughout the past couple of decades. If you've seen a movie like Gremlins 2, he was Daniel Clamp. I almost said President Clamp, but he's not President Clamp. We had talked about that. It was a great interview, though, and I keep promising to play it, but something keeps coming up. We got pushed back a couple of times because of the bad weather where we weren't able to air a live show. But we did get a chance to talk to John Glover. And if those of you who are listening, if you're anywhere near the Cleveland area, Wizard World Cleveland is going on next weekend, March 8th through the 10th, I believe. And we talked, one of the things we talked about with John Glover is how he was getting into the convention circuit. He'll be at Wizard World Cleveland. Here's what John had to say.
How have you found the convention circuit now that you're wading into it? Has it just been everything you always thought it would be, just this joy of fans rushing to meet you?
Well, I had such a good time in both in Louisville. The first one I did was in L.A., so that's when it started, right before then. And then this thing in Louisville, I mean, there were people who came back the next day to say hello. I mean, I had such a good time talking to people. It just was amazing. I just had a blast, and they were all so loving and everything. Those cons are strange. You know, when we did Smallville, we went to the Comic-Con down in San Diego, but we were so kept away, and it was so huge that we really didn't get a chance to meet with people like I did at the Louisville and the L.A. one. And there was also one in Cleveland, I think, we're going to go to.
Yeah. The Wizard World. I think you'll be up there again with Michael Rosenbaum, I believe, and Tom Welling are also doing that one.
Michael and Tom, yeah. I've only seen Michael and Tom work together, but apparently they're like Martin and Lewis, I've been told, when they get on that stage together. I guess Michael is Dean Martin. No, Michael would be Jerry Lewis, the funny guy, and Tom's the straight man.
Yeah, Michael's been on the show with us before, too, and he's definitely the comic.
I'll say. Yeah, I love Michael. We had a great time working together.
So he'll be appearing there with Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling at Wizard World Cleveland. If you get a chance to go up and see them, I highly recommend it. Wizard World coming to St. Louis the first weekend of April, I believe, and that'll be something we'll be broadcasting from there as well. You can check out, get your tickets online. Just go to wizardworld.com, pull up the city closest to you, find your tickets, find out who's going to be showing up. And it's always a great time to be had at Wizard World. We are going to be talking with Scott Innes in the next couple of segments, voice actor of Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and the current iterations of the animated features featuring everyone's beloved mystery-solving canine. Then we've got a bunch of stuff backlogged that I've been, like I said, meaning to get to. We've got a great interview with a woman named Amber Kempter who does Broadway Goes Pop. We'll be trying to air that along with the John Glover interview next Sunday. I keep promising these and we keep getting pushback. We keep getting delays. I apologize. But you will be able to keep up with everything. I try to announce all the stuff on social media. If you go to Twitter, you can follow me there at Geeked Me Radio, and the same thing on Instagram. And then it's facebook.com/geektomeradio. If you're looking to support the show, if you like this show, if you listen to it, first of all, thank you for listening to it and subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Thank you for listening live each week for those of you who do. There's a lot of different things you can do to support the show because I do have people sometimes say, hey, what can I do? I can't really do this or this, but what could I do? Go to iTunes and write me a review. Leave a 5-star review for me on iTunes. Say something nice, because the more reviews we get there, the higher we get aggregated in iTunes. We get more prominently featured. That's always a huge plus. If you want to go to geekedmeradio.com, you can just shop on Amazon. We have a little Amazon affiliate link. If you shop there, you can get whatever you normally buy on Amazon. If you buy your Funko Pops there, your comic book graphic novels, your DVDs, if you buy cooking gear, if you like to cook and you're a chef, but you like to listen to this show in the background while you're cooking, then you get your pots and pans, your fancy skillets, your fancy spatulas. Go to the website, geekedmeradio.com, click the Amazon affiliate link. Anything you purchase during that session, we get a small, small percentage of it. It does help the show. We also have a Patreon page. You can go to Patreon, search Geek to Me Radio. If you want to donate there, we have some perks for people who donate at the higher levels. And it's just always nice to help support the show for, as Gloria from All in the Family would say, for less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can help Geek to Me Radio. So there's always things that you can do to help support us. And of course, we always hope that you go to our sponsors' websites like discoverstcharles.com, go to Marcus Theaters, and shop there, buy there, purchase there, watch your movies there. And those are just some ways you can help Geek to Me Radio as we continue to grow, hopefully bringing you the content you like to hear along the way with the guests like John Glover and Kevin Conroy and Amber Kempter. So that's what we like to do. We like to keep the show going. We want your help to do it so that it's all cyclical. We can then provide you with good content and keep it flowing. And that's just kind of where I want to put it out there. I wanted to say, if you want to help Geek to Me Radio, lots of ways to support. Also following me on all the social media channels as well. Twitter, Instagram, at Geek to Me Radio, Facebook.com/Geek to Me Radio. Head over to YouTube because my executive producer, Joey V, is always fantastic about putting up our shows once they air on YouTube. So if you can't really listen on a thing in your car, if you want to put it on at work, pull up YouTube, just hit the button, minimize the screen. You can hear it through your headphones while you're at work, and check out Geek to Me Radio on that way. Subscribe on YouTube to Geek to Me Radio. We are going to take another break. We ran a little over in the last segment. We're going to take another break, come back talking with Scott Innes right after this on Geek to Me Radio. Stand by.
Hi, everybody. This is Maria Canales Barrera. I voice Talk Girl on the Justice League, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we are back. Want to mention, we did mention them slightly in the last segment, but we want to mention our premier sponsor, Historic St. Charles. Go to the website, discoverstcharles.com. You can check out, they've got a really fantastic website, and there's all the tabs at the top. You can check out the events that they have going on, which there's always something going on in Historic St. Charles. Things to do up and down Main Street, attractions, trip ideas, all sorts of restaurants. If you're a fan of the Missouri wines, they've got a couple wineries out there you can try. If you're listening to this right now and you're outside of the St. Charles, St. Louis area, you can find a place to stay. We've got from hotels with modern amenities all the way to charming, quaint little bed and breakfasts, even guest houses, vacation rentals. If you're more of a camper, want to really do it up rustic, camping RV parks and cabins, you can plan your trip. There's all sorts of places. You can go on the website to request more information, get maps of the city. If you're looking to get married someplace picturesque, I was just out there the other day. I actually was at Justin's Comics for New Comic Book Day on Wednesday, and I was driving, and there were people getting wedding photographs taken, which obviously I don't think many weddings happen on a Wednesday, but they were dressed up. The bride had her stuff on. All the groomsmen were in their tuxedos. So maybe they did get married on Wednesday, but they were taking their pictures right there in Frontier Park, which is beautiful on the train tracks with the, they got those stationary cabooses, and there's great places just to get photos taken. Maybe you want to get engagement pictures taken, or maybe you're, getting ready to start your senior year of high school next year. You want your senior photographs. St. Charles has a lot of great places, and you can check out, they've got on their main page of their website, pictures that people have posted from their Instagram feeds, and they put them right there on the site. You can kind of get a sense of what's going on down there. If you're a history buff, I didn't mention that, all the other things there are to do. If you're a history buff, they've got all the old buildings with the placards as what happened here, why this building's significant. They've got a thing going on. This is their sesquicentennial coming up, and I actually pronounced that right, so ha! Sesquicentennial, their 250th anniversary of the founding of the city of St. Charles coming up this May. They're going to have a big event going on, I think the 16th through the 18th for that. You can go down there and check that out. There'll be little vignettes recreating bits of history throughout the decades and decades, centuries really, of the St. Charles community. They'll have unique vendors with some fantastic food set up. They'll have craftsmen. So it's really like taking a little step back in time. It's always fun to go down there. There's always something happening. It's always a good time. You can check out that website at discoverstcharles.com and plan your trip now. Always a good time to be had in St. Charles, and this show literally would not be on the air without them. They've been with us since the very, very beginning, and we're very happy to have them with us throughout this entire process. We've been on the air almost, it'll be 3 years in August, and they've been with us every step of the way. So please go check them out, discoverstcharles.com. We're currently waiting on Scott Innes to call in. His publicist says he was going to call, and hang tight was the text message I just got. So she's reaching out to him now.
Are we supposed to vamp now? I mean, I did listen to your show from last week, which was all Oscars
picks, yes,
and it was fun just listening to how wrong Max on Movies was. The expert in movies in St. Louis, some would say. You know, he would say things like, Glenn Close, it's a lock, 100% guaranteed she's going to win. And then
And I said Olivia Colman was my choice. I said, that's the one I'd love to have win. I think everyone looked stunned. She certainly was stunned. Did you see her acceptance speech?
Yeah, she blew a raspberry for, you know, having to wrap up. She was just like, I'm going to keep talking. I'm never going to be up here again. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, the girl from Hot Fuzz now has an Oscar. So good for her. That was a great performance. The favorite. There were a couple of them I didn't see. I didn't see The Green Book. I don't think I saw, what was the one?
Green Book is in this weird place where it comes out on DVD this Tuesday, but it just got re-released in theaters as well because of the big Best Picture win.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's everyone that said it hit all the quadrants, like it was a studio film that, you know, made everyone happy. But now that it won, no one's happy because it's just kind of the easy pick, I guess.
Right. You know? Yeah, that was kind of weird. It's like, okay, you all wanted this to win. Now it's won and you're unhappy. It just proves you cannot make anyone happy these days. But I was very happy, and I know Stan Lee's smiling down with the two wins for Black Panther, which that was that watching her speech when she got up there for costume design, she was fantastic, and also the win for Into the Spider-Verse, which was well deserved. Did you see that one yet, Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, it's when you talk about animated film, I would say that was the most animated movie I've ever seen in my life. Just a new style. And just breaking the mold, I guess you would say, for animation, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was great. And I think there's no one who's been unhappy with that pick being as lauded as it has been with all the accolades thrown upon it. And I think there was talk maybe about, you know, Sony giving up the Spider-Man rights since Marvel Comics brought Spider-Man into the MCU. But I think now that they've got such a hit with this one and all the awards that it's gotten, I don't think Sony's going to give up the rights to Spider-Man anytime soon.
I wouldn't say I was smart enough to catch this, but reading the post, you know, what happened at the Oscars, Lord and Miller were supposed to direct the Han Solo movie. They got fired.
That's right.
Got tanked. And now they won the Oscar for Spider-Man as a Sony product when Disney wins the animated category almost every year. It's been a while since Disney hasn't won the animated category. So
yeah,
the guys they fired ended up winning an Oscar for their Spider-Man movie, which is, you know, that little bit of drama you don't really pay attention to, but it makes the story that much sweeter.
And that's one of the things people will say that Solo was a flop. It's like, well, they had to reshoot almost half the movie. That's added a lot to the budget. It didn't flop by any means. I think it had the ticket sales were there. It was everyone I talked to liked it. I didn't enjoy it as much as I was hoping I would, but it was still an enjoyable movie. I think I rated it like a 7.5 out of 10. It wasn't the best Star Wars movie, but it certainly was a serviceable entry, and there were parts I liked about it. But how much better it would have done financially had they not had to go in and reshoot half the movie once Ron Howard took over, which nothing against Ron Howard at all. He wanted to kind of make it his own. I guess they kind of took out some stuff that they didn't think was working, but it would be very interesting. I'm not going to sound like one of those Snyder Cut fanatics, and I want to see the Lord and Miller cut, but it would be interesting to see what the movie would have been had they let them continue on, as it were, without bringing Ron Howard in. Who knows?
Yeah, I think no host, you know, made sense. I mean, the host only slows things down anyway, and I don't know. Did you notice anything that you liked about it? I know Mexican directors are just winning the Best Director award constantly.
Yeah.
So that's something that keeps coming up.
Yeah, I know. I think it was because a lot of people were bracing themselves because this is the first time the Oscars have not had a host since 1989. And everyone was expecting a disaster because they said that was a disaster. And I look back at some of the YouTube videos when I'm like, I don't remember the Oscars in 1989. So I went back and looked, and it was pretty bad. Evidently, the person who directed it and was responsible for it almost got shunned from Hollywood for how bad that debacle was. But I thought this went really well. It was certainly better than the time James Franco, I'm using air quotes, hosted it alongside of Anne Hathaway, who had to do all the heavy lifting because it was almost like James Franco just wasn't even there. But I do miss, like, they get the right host. Like, I would love to see Ricky Gervais. I liked Tina and Amy hosting. I thought they always do a great job. And when they walked out on stage with Maya Rudolph at the very beginning, I'm like, oh, these three should just be allowed to host the rest of the time. Let's let them do their thing.
I like it. It was still a celebration of the year in movies because, you know, you saw the young girl from eighth grade, Elsie Fisher, I believe is her name. She got to come out and present. So no awards for eighth grade, even though people loved it. And, you know, the people that still affected movies this year got to come out, and it made sense. It was beautiful.
And Mike Myers and Dana Carvey got to come out and present too, which was fun, seeing him as Wayne and Garth.
All right. Well, it looks like we've got our friend on the phone. Should we take a break real quick?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll regroup, come back talking with Scott Innes, voice actor, right after this. Stand by.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, Radio. What's up, guys? This is Jeremy Shada, voice of Finn from Adventure Time or Land on Voltron, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we are back. Appropriate that all the return liners have been voice actors, because we have another one on the line with us right now. Scott Innes, I hope I pronounced that right, Innes, talking...
Like you know it, or you could just call me by Shaggy or Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Perfect, and he'll be at Wizard World St. Louis coming up in April. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to this show because, you know, Missouri is my stomping grounds. Born and raised in Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Yeah.
Of course, grew up at Busch Stadium with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon calling the St. Louis Cardinal baseball games. A nice, cold, frosty Busch to watch the Cards, you know. So.
And eating your toasted ravioli and Emo's Pizza. That's the other thing St. Louis we always
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Meet us down at Emo's Pizza after the game, you know.
So, obviously, voicing Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, we just saw you in the Walmart ad for the Super Bowl. That was you, right?
Yeah, I did that. That was kind of cool. You know, when Walmart calls, they did that huge, you know, all the celebrity cars pulling in. Their new campaign was pull in, call ahead, get it to go, and we'll bring it out to you. So they used the Mystery Machine and the DeLorean, and Disney chimed in, and the Kit, and just a bunch of others. It was really cool. And so, you know, Scooby opens up the door of the Mystery Machine. All you do is see his hands come out. He says, "Woo-wee snacks. Whoa, boy." You know, boom. And just found out I'm going to be, you know, we're celebrating 50 years of Scooby-Doo. So this is cool this year. I think, what, the 28th is the official date that it debuted, September 69. Cool. And so celebrating 50 years of what I think is the best cartoon ever.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that's...
So, I'm going to be voicing Build-A-Bear. They're doing a big Build-A-Bear Scooby for the kids, so I'll be doing the Scooby-Dooby-Doo on that. So just there's enough Scooby to go around, you know?
Absolutely. And I know you got to voice Scrappy in the 2002 movie written by James Gunn, who is obviously another St. Louis native. We're tying it all back into St. Louis here.
Oh, I know. It's with St. Louis. It turns out nothing but hit after hit after hit. But, yeah, James Gunn, great guy. He also did Guardians of the Galaxy and just a super dude. In fact, I bet his brother may be at the St. Louis Wizard World.
Oh, yeah, Sean's been through before, sure.
Yeah, I think he was at the one in New Orleans that I was at as well. So, but, yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I think it's the 6th and 7th of April.
That's correct, yeah. The 6th, 7th, yeah. 8th of April, that first full weekend of April for Wizard World St. Louis. The tickets are already up online. You can grab those right there. You'll be there, obviously, signing autographs and taking photos. And if people can just trade you, how many Scooby snacks per autograph now?
Well, here's the deal. I'm cheap, man. You know, I'm $20, and you get an autograph on a glossy 8x10, your choice, and we do a free, you know, selfie and everything. So... But what I'm offering in the St. Louis deal is kind of cool. It's $100 because it takes a toll on the voice when you keep doing it. But, you know, if you want me to voice your answering machine and all the characters, that's kind of cool to have, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, your phone deal. You know, "Hi, this is Scoob and Shag, and Johnny's not here." Yeah, that's right. So call back, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, you know. So we'll offer those while I'm there. Now I'm going to be there Friday night. I think they do the Friday evening thing, and
right.
then all day Saturday. Won't be there Sunday. I got to get back on the road and get back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But I will be up there for Friday and Saturday, and we're looking forward to it. It's always a great time. The folks at Wizard World put on a great show, and of course, you got Jason Momoa is going to be there.
That's right, Aquaman
again. And you know, Jason and I hung out in New Orleans and did a dueling Scooby. He's a huge Scooby-Doo fan.
Oh, really?
And so. Oh, huge. And you can Google up pictures of him with the Mystery Machine. In fact, if you Google up Scott Innes, Scooby-Doo, and Jason Momoa in New Orleans at Wizard World, it'll bring up a video where we were doing dueling Scoobies in the green room, and it went viral. And I said, there's nothing worse than having your name, nothing better, really, than having your name attached to the number one guy with the number one movie in the country and
right.
doing dueling Scoobies. So.
And talking about the internet too, cool. I want to make sure, because sometimes I'll get talking to guests and I'll totally forget if where can people find you on social media, Twitter and Instagram,
Here's
Facebook.
You know, I got a really cool site. I've got one that's, you know, scottennis.com, but look, I'm working on that one. People, if they want to find me now, I got all my product, and I paint pictures too. So I paint Scooby-Doo's, and all my stuff from my site goes to St. Jude and Children's Hospital and other children's charities.
Very nice.
That I like to help out. And you can find it at onescottshop.com. So that's O-N-E, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, shop, S-H-O-P.com. And buy something off of there and just know that you're helping kids, less fortunate children, because that's what I'm all about.
That's fantastic. And we did mention the 2002 Scooby-Doo movies. You got to work with my celebrity crush, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but I had the... Lindsay Cardinale is my hot crush, man. She is just smoking hot. And I worked with her. She played Velma.
Yeah.
You know, she's been in so many movies. And, yeah, that was pretty cool. And working with all the producers on that, Richard Suckle and everything, which, by the way, Richard Suckle is actually behind the new Scooby-Doo reboot that they're doing, another animated. It's an animated movie going to go to the theaters. And, you know, a little sad that Richard didn't call me to do Shaggy. You know, I saw where Matthew Lillard.
That's right, yeah.
You know, they didn't even ask him to do Shaggy, and so he, you know, comicbook.com did a big story with him where he says he had to find out through the internet, you know, that he didn't get the role. And I chimed in. I said, I know how you feel, because I got swooped over by you. When Casey retired, I mean, I really felt I should have got that role. And, you know, I'm not bragging here, but I mean, you know, there's no comparison. I do Shaggy and Casey Kasem Shaggy, and Matthew does a great Shaggy. He does a Matthew Lillard Shaggy, and I do a Casey Kasem Shaggy. And I just felt that I should have got that, you know? And so, but Matthew got it. And then, of course, they didn't call either one of us for this new Scooby-Doo project. They got some guy by the name of Will Fort. F-O-R-T-E, Will Fort, what, I don't even know who the hell that is.
It sounds familiar. Ah.
And Tracy Morgan, the comedian Tracy Morgan, is going to voice Captain Caveman in this thing.
And But
you know, and then, of course, my dear friend Frank Welker is going to be doing Scooby in this deal. But, you know, the whole thing is and here's the problem that I have. If you're going to do a movie, do it for the fans that buy the tickets. That, you know, I mean... You don't need Jack Nicholson to come in and goes, hey, man, I always wanted to voice Shaggy. You mind if I voice? You know, and then, of course, the studio goes, oh, my God, it's Jack Nicholson. We got to let him do it. You know, check this out. Hey, zoinks, I'm really hungry. Okay, you know what? I don't care if it's Jack Nicholson or not. It's not Shaggy.
Right.
So you have to keep true to the deal. And I'm afraid they're going to get all these true Scooby fans out there. They're going to go, that's not Matthew Lillard, or that's not Scott Innes doing Shaggy. And they're going to start panning the movie. And I'm like, if you can do it right from out of the gate, why wouldn't you do it right out of the gate? Why would you already put two nails in a coffin in a show? You know?
Right, yeah, the fans are going to be the ones who are the discerning people who are going to spend the money, and if it's not...
Look, Casey Kasem deserves to have his voice sound like Shaggy.
Right.
I mean, you know, he created the character. It's 50 years old. He's a classic cartoon. Why would you change... I mean, Disney doesn't do this, you know? I mean, Disney goes out, and if they're casting a Winnie the Pooh, they don't care who it is. They bring a guy in, they audition, and if he fits the bill... They don't care if he lives under a bridge, if he lives in Guatemala. He's the guy. So that's who they go with. They don't go, well, look, I know this guy sounds just like Winnie the Pooh, but Burt Reynolds wants to voice Winnie the Pooh. Okay, they don't care, okay? They want the character to sound like the character, you know? And it just irks me a little bit, you know? I mean, because I have such love and passion for these characters – that I want people to go, there's nothing worse than opening up a Hallmark card in the Hallmark store, and you have Shaggy going, Scooby-Doo, where are you? And you're like, and somebody next to you goes, that didn't sound like Shaggy.
Is that Adam Sandler?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and we want to mention again, make sure that if you're listening right now, if you want to meet Scott, if you want to talk to him, if you want to get one of those voice recordings for your answering machine, your cell phone, so people pick it up and they hear the voice of Shaggy or Scooby, Scott will be at Wizard World St. Louis Friday and Saturday. We definitely want to plug that website if you want to help St. Jude's and get something for yourself in the process. It's onescottshop.com, correct?
Right, absolutely. And listen, folks, if you've never been to Wizard World Comic Con, you're in for a treat. This show is done, I mean, so well. I don't do a lot of these Comic-Cons. I only do the best. And when you're dealing with Wizard World Comic-Con, you're dealing with the best. And the talent is impeccable. The crafts, the booths, the shows, everything that goes on to this thing is everything that a true comic cartoon geek would want to be a part of. So it's well worth it, And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
And you can check them out, Wizard World St. Louis. That's coming up very quickly, so make sure you get your tickets now. Come see Scott Innes, Jason Momoa, and everyone else who will be here. Scott, hang on the line 1 minute. I'm going to talk to you briefly off air. We're going to take our break real quick, folks. Come back and wrap things up here on Geek to Me Radio. Stand by.
This is Alan Oppenheimer, the voice of Skeletor, and you're listening to Geek to Me.
We are back, wrapping up the show. Thanks once again to Justin Burnett of Justin's Comics and Scott Innes, voice actor. You'll be able to see Scott at Wizard World St. Louis. Get your tickets at wizardworld.com. John Glover, we teased, he'll be at Wizard World Cleveland. If you're in that area, check out Wizard World Cleveland as well. Get your tickets to go see John Glover, Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and more fantastic guests. Wizardworld.com is that website. I'm not sponsored by Wizard World. I probably should be at this point, but that'd be great. Maybe we'll talk to them about it. Once again, please follow me, James Enstall, at my Twitter account, at Geek to Me Radio, Instagram, at Geek to Me Radio, Facebook.com/Geek to Me Radio. Follow me on there. The more followers I have, the easier it is for me to get sponsors. With more sponsors I have, the easier it is for me to keep my show on the air. And of course, we mentioned the website, GeekToMeRadio.com, where you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can shop with our Amazon affiliate link. We get a small percentage of your purchases on Amazon. It costs you absolutely nothing to do so. And of course, you can support us on Patreon as well, Patreon.com. Just look for Geek to Me Radio on there. We'll have some more eBay comic book auctions going on starting tonight. You can buy my collection, some early Uncanny X-Men and some Neil Adams run on Green Lantern, Green Arrow, all listed today. eBay, look for me, Geek to Me Radio. So until next week, my friends. Inc. Good night.